In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this fifth Sunday after Pentecost. Today's gospel about the Lord casting out the demons from the two possessed men is one of the more unusual gospel readings, and maybe a little hard to comprehend. Perhaps that's why the Holy Fathers have appointed this gospel passage to be read twice every year. The Lord, who loves us and wants everything good for us, nevertheless chose to reveal to us all that is needed for us as we try to follow Him. He taught us many beautiful and inspiring things. He showed His compassion toward us and His great mercy in the many miracles that He did. And yet today we are given this gospel about two men possessed by many demons as a witness to the reality of evil in this fallen world. In the Gospels of Mark and Luke, when the Lord asks one of the men his name, the demons say that their name is Legion. Although we don't have an exact count of precisely how many demons possess this man, we do know that in those days a Roman legion consisted of 5,000 soldiers. Archbishop Averroes describes the state of possession where a man loses his personal consciousness and becomes enslaved to the reason of the demon, which then has full control of his body and the powers of his soul. Now, the gospel does not tell us why God permitted this to happen to these two men, but we do know that God loves us, and as he says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, which St. Paul writes about in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. We also know that suffering could be either to serve as a way to help us repent of our sins, or, you know, as in the case of the paralytic, or it could also be that God allows someone to suffer in order to be of great help to others, as was the case with the Christian martyrs. The whole idea of demonic possession is a very unpleasant issue to discuss, so it's no wonder that we don't hear much about that about this these days. Most of us have probably heard of or seen the movie The Exorcist. However, that movie shows evil as triumphing and the Christian faith as being weak and ineffective. But we can see in today's gospel that Christ absolutely has power over evil. When these demons saw Christ, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Then the demons request that Christ allow them to enter into the nearby herd of swine. Notice that they had to ask permission. Who has the power here? Blessed Theophylact says that the demons asked this so that they could drown the swine, and thus the owners would be grieved and would not welcome Christ. Which, you know, unfortunately, the demons did succeed in that because, you know, obviously the people asked him to leave. In the second prayer of exorcism in the sacrament of baptism, the priest says, "Get out of the man and enter no more into him. Depart. Know the vainness of your might, which had not power even over swine. Remember him who bade you at your request to enter into the herd of swine." Why then did Christ grant their requests? Well, according to Archbishop Averroes, the Lord apparently allowed this to happen in order to remind the Gadarenes that they raised swine contrary to the law of Moses. And Blessed Theophylact says that Christ granted their request in order to show how great is their bitterness toward men, and that if they had the power and were not prevented as they are by God, they would do worse things to us than they did to the swine. So this is one of those kind of good news, bad news situations. The bad news is that God permits demons to tempt man, but the good news is that God also limits their power, since he is omnipotent. Still, one might ask the question, if God loves us, why did he permit man to fall in the first place and to be subject to such evil temptations? St. John of Kronstadt once wrote the following, "If man is not to be allowed to fall, then he cannot be created in the image and likeness of God. He cannot be granted free will, which is an inseparable feature of the image of God. But he would have to be subject to the law of necessity, like the irrational animals. Then man would have no way to show his faithfulness and devotion to the Creator, his self-sacrificing love. Then there would have been no exploits in battle, no merits, and no incorruptible crowns for victory. There would have been no eternal blessedness, which is the reward for faithfulness and devotion to God, and no eternal repose after the labors and struggles of our earthly pilgrimage. The worst thing in this gospel passage is that having witnessed the miraculous power of God over the evil demons and the healing of these two men, the Gadarene people asked Christ to leave them. They should have asked him to stay with them and teach them about salvation and the kingdom of heaven. And Christ lets them make that choice and does leave them. But he also sends the newly healed man back to their city to preach about Christ's power and what happened to him. Brothers and sisters, in his great love for us, the Lord permits us to struggle against passions and temptations. Yet, he also demonstrates his power over evil. In order to be victorious in this spiritual warfare, let us remember what Jesus told St. Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then those are the words of Christ to Paul, of course. And then Paul then writes, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that's from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And let us complete the course of this Apostles' Fast and celebrate the victory of our one holy ecumenic and apostolic church that the Apostles gave us, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Glory be to our God.